A 200-year first, Japan's emperor abdicates the throne. Live from London, this is Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Good morning, I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. We start in Europe, where we've just had a temperature check on how economies are faring across the continent. The bloc as a whole is doing well, growing better than expected in the first few months of this year at 0.4%. This is double the pace of growth seen at the end of last year. A closer look shows Spain appears to be leading the pack. The BBC's Su Ping Chang has this report.
The single currency bloc's quarterly expansion highlights a potential fight back after a downbeat 2018. The wider European Union expanded by 0.5%. This was also higher than expected and follows growth of 0.3% in the final quarter of last year. Spain was one of the single currency bloc's star performers, growing at its strongest pace since the end of 2017. Eurozone unemployment, meanwhile, dropped to 7.7% in March. That's down from 8.5% a year earlier. In London, I'm the BBC's Su Ping Chan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. As we've been hearing, a welcome boost to Eurozone GDP has helped drive the euro currency higher, helping offset a set of disappointing Chinese factory figures. A Green New Deal is the name given to ambitious plans to revolutionise the way we live to try and combat climate change. Just last week, protesters took to the streets of cities around the world to raise awareness of green issues. And on a government level, politicians are starting to formulate proposals. In the US, Democrat Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is leading the cause on Capitol Hill. And here in Britain, an Environmental Justice Commission has been launched today. It's being chaired by British politician Ed Miliband, a former Energy and Climate Change Secretary.
If we just say to people, you're going to have to make sacrifices and life is going to be worse, I don't think we're going to bring people with us. I actually think life can be better. Less air pollution. If we have better public transport, more walking and cycling in our towns and cities.
Mr. Miliband also said countries like the UK should be setting an example.
You only get the moral authority to tell China and India that they need to change as well if we are changing. I saw this as climate and energy secretary. Actually, in the negotiations that we were part of, Britain did have some moral authority because at that time we were going ahead. We were powering ahead. We were the first country in the world to legislate for carbon reduction. But we need to go further. If we say, look, we're going to get to zero emissions as quickly as possible, then we can say to the Chinese and Indians, not, you know, we're all right, now you've got to change, but we are changing. We've all got to change. We are in this together.
British politician Ed Miliband. In the last hour in Japan, Emperor Akihito gave his last public speech as monarch. He's decided to abdicate from the throne, the first Japanese monarch to do so in 200 years, and will be succeeded by his son. To mark the occasion, the country's annual spring holiday has been extended to 10 days, which means it'll be the longest market shutdown since the end of World War II in the country. The BBC's Mariko Oi is in Tokyo.
It is hugely historic, Vishala. This is the first abdication in over two centuries. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of excitement, and I can personally tell the difference from the last transition when Emperor Akihito took to the throne 30 years ago, when the entire country, I remember even as a child, was mourning the death of the previous emperor, whereas now the mood is a lot more celebratory.
And what do people expect from this sort of new emperor in terms of sort of changes to society and the economy?
Well, the constitution states that the emperor is the country's symbol and he doesn't have any political powers. But I think it's fair to say that the Heisei era, which is about to end, Japan lost the title as the world's second biggest economy when it was overtaken by China. The stock market, if you actually see the chart, it's quite incredible. The stock market bubble burst and then we saw shares falling, and they haven't really recovered the losses, unlike American shares. shares, which managed to recover from the dot-com bubble. And of course, in terms of the tech sector, you know, Sony, which was once known as sending out that killer product, Walkman, that reputation is long gone. It's struggling to compete with the likes of Apple and South Korea's Samsung. But I think it's fair to say that a lot of people will be looking forward to the new era, you know, hoping for a better stock market performance and the economic performance as well.
So it sounds like there's a sense of optimism about the future. Just sort of shifting towards sort of work patterns, that's something we hear a lot about, how they're sort of quite grueling hours. I mean, does this sort of maybe mark a turning point in that at all?
Well, I've definitely personally noticed the change in corporate culture, or at least the attempt to change the corporate culture. You know, death from overwork, known as karoshi, has been highlighted many times, and companies are actually making an effort to try and shorten those working hours. But having said that, you know, Japan's Golden Week, which is usually about 5 to 7 days, has been extended to 10 days to celebrate this imperial succession. But yet, only about a third of the people get to take the entire time off, and about 40% of the people continue working as usual. So there's still, you know, a lot of things that needs to be changed, but definitely things are changing in that direction.
That was Marie Kaoi in London. I'm Vishala Sripathma with Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.